Hello, everybody. Welcome back to an episode of the podcast. I am Stugar.
And I am Centaur.
And today's episode is brought to you by The Arm. The Arm is a society extremist faction consisting of scientists, military admirals, and commerce CEOs. Nothing shall stand in the way of The Arm, for The Arm sees everyone else as inferior beings who have no right to exist in the Omicrons or the Omegas. Holy shit. With a combined system of three branches, the Arm believe they will rise to become an unstoppable force to be formally recognized. All right. So, speaking of the Arm, we have today's guest, somebody that I think people that are familiar with him are very familiar with him. If you're not familiar with him, you have no idea who he is. So today you'll learn who he is. He is a PvP ace. He is infamous to some, to others. He's a hero. He is Hitman 76. Welcome to the show, Locke.
Greetings.
All right. So first off, ARM sounds terrifying, but real quick, is this an acronym for something?
Kind of, yes. Kind of, no. We've been thinking about it. Different votes, different decisions, but the one I've like the most that we've seen is Advanced Research Military, because we are okay. An activist military group. Oh, we see someone, you're gonna die. Oh, we see nomads, you're gonna die. Like, we're just extremists. That's what we are.
Holy shit. Okay, well, leading up, before we get to our extremist version of Locke and his psycho babble on the edge of the world,
Locke on steroids.
Core on steroids.
Locke, briefly tell us about your introduction to Freelancer and what eventually brought you to Discovery.
Okay, so I played Freelancer since it's almost come out, and I used to play multiple different servers, but before I did anything multiplayer, before I even heard of mods or Discovery, I played the single player over and over again. That's all I did. And got a few lines stuck in my head. It's a Rhineland cruiser and stuff like that, the usual.
But that's the Donau.
Yeah, the Donau, yeah. But for multiplayer, I was started on the 24/7 server, which was basically vanilla multiplayer. And there's all the wrecks, all the code names, and people getting Eagles, Outcast Sabers, and of course, they're Titan. It was those three. And there's always arguments, oh no, this ship's better because of blah blah blah. No, that ship's better because of blah blah blah. And then there'll be daily fights to see who's the best of the best and whatnot. And I flew Eagle, so I liked turning. I can't turn at all anymore. It's not the same. But back then, I used to be really good at it, especially with Eagle. Because what you could do was, you can shoot off your own wings in the back, and it would somehow increase or decrease rather your drag and your turn, so your ship would turn faster. And there's also a rumor that mines would do less damage to you. Because the way all your hitboxes had, there's these mine placements where your ship calculates how much damage you take. And depending how many parts of a ship you have, the more you take. So for example, Saber takes a bunch, Eagle took a bunch, unless you took the back wings off, so it took less mine damage. And the placements on the Saber were good because all the guns are lined up and you had that one extra. So you could have all sorts of different loadouts. And then Titan was just garbage. If you like Titan, I'm sorry, but Titan was just garbage.
It also looked like garbage too. But
It looks good. I think it looks good.
Nah, Saber's definitely a prettier looking boat for sure.
Yes, Saber, my love forever. But Titan is just too slow. It just is.
It's funny you mentioned the Eagle shooting off the wing of it, because I remember doing that. This is back OG Freelancer, mm-hmm. before any mods or anything. And you know, Tizona del Cid's and cannonball missiles and
oh my god,
back. And I completely forgot that we used to do that. We Omicron Gamma was our system, so we'd all go to Gamma, and anyone that didn't have their wings hit off would have people shoot our wings off and stuff, and it, you know, it does help you turn.
It's actually interesting that we got so quickly into the technicalities, because Locke, aka Hitman, is very well known for his PvP skill and really digging into the numbers and like learning how to make the most out of every ship. So that's really cool.
Maxer to the core. He's yeah. Second best on the community for gunboats, except for me.
I see where it's
well, I train you what not to do on a gunboat.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, I'd like to see a recording of Racer and me fighting, and then Racer dying in the next 30 seconds.
It'll be resemblant to a person with a spear trying to stab a flopping fish.
Like watch Racer flying around in a brick, essentially. Yeah. All right. So go on, Locke.
So yeah, first server 24/7, and then after that, I ended up joining different more PvP bases. I just got addicted to it, and I couldn't stop. I was like, this is fun. This is not like other games I've played, like a Dota or first-person shooter or strategy game. Arena Zone was just the banger, the one. Like, this is amazing. There's no other game that has a universe or a whole 360-degree whatever like this. This is completely different. And I ended up joining the server called Underverse.
I remember that one.
I don't recommend it.
I didn't play it. I had some friends that did.
It was quite hectic, and it didn't teach very good. The graphics were all white to me. Like, all the models didn't load. It was really bad. And it was hilarious, though, because one system you would have heavy, deep rock metal music, and then the next system would be classic piano. This is so confusing. I'm like, how is there... Okay, there's no theme. Check. All the NPCs are broken. Check. And everyone does missile spam. Check. It's either you had a missile spam bomber that had 3 torpedoes and who knows how many missiles, or you had the best of the best capital ships, which were completely different to Freelancer, even pre-5.0 Freelancer Discovery. So the way their capital ships worked, your speed forward, which was, say, I believe like 120 meters a second, was the same speed in every direction. Twisting, strafing, going backwards, it was all the same everywhere. So hitting somebody was nuts.
Wow.
I imagine, like, you're chasing a capital, and the capital is basically doing, like, a crab walk because they're just strafing. It's just exchanging fire that way.
Only a few ships can do it, so you had the best of the best. Like, I remember having my first capital ship, which was, like, 20 million or something. Like that is like I think they were using old Freelancer economy because getting millions was hard, and they would like have capital battles. I was like, "Ooh, I want to join too." I was like, "No, your capital's too weak." I was like, "What do you mean? I just bought this yesterday." Then they had to explain to me all the mechanics, and they were trying to show me things. And then I saw a video, all of these different capital ships shooting each other, and there's no turrets there; they're just straight up going at each other, and cockpit view spamming away. What looks like station primaries until someone blows up. It was really boring. There's no real device. It was a spam. That whole server was spam. But they had interesting people. But I didn't last long there. It's like, all right, interesting mod. Try something different. Went to Void server. Was there for a week or so. It was also the same. Like, different people, different players. It's like, yeah, it's interesting, but I don't like missile spam. I want more guns, more mines, more tactical stuff. So Void wasn't my style because everyone there loved missiles. I think Lemon was there. I think Wesker was there. A few others. But I was like, not really into this. So I stayed a little while. But then different servers came on. I was like, I'll try Hamburg City. Later I ended up trying, what was it called? There's something else similar to Hamburg City, but eventually, after all these different server hoppings, I was told about Discovery. I was like, what's Discovery? And they're like, you should try it. Best mod ever. This guy was playing Crossfire at the time. This would have been 2011, I think. 2012, something around there. That's when I first joined Discovery. It was really interesting. I was like, it looks like vanilla. He's like, no, it's a lot more than that. Trust me. So I joined it up anyway. Start trying a few things. I'm like, oh, this is good. I'll stick around. And I didn't play that much back then. I was busy doing other things like other servers, other more single player stuff, just goofing about. But when I really got into it, I figured out that PvP here was a bit more realistic in a sense. Because you didn't have spam that much. You didn't have stupid amount of ganking. There's a lot of 1v1s and stuff. And there was Connecticut. I'm like, oh, there's a system you can go to. But I remember being told, I'm not sure if this was the case when I joined, but you had a jump pull New York. That went to Connecticut. They didn't have the land for it back then.
Right outside of Fort Bush.
Yes, you would have Corsair Legates entering New York, and that'd be a problem. trying to explain, we're just going to Connecticut. And then the Liberty neighbor's like, no, we're going to shoot you now. Strange times. And ship models were different back then. Like the Ranshore, its engine was awful. It didn't match the rest of the ship at all. It just had a gray circle. And that was it. Gray circle. It was ugly. I remember it being bigger back then. There was 101st when I joined GMS. I think BMF was a thing when I joined, like barely.
I know BMF is pretty old, so it's quite likely that they were around back then.
I think of other old factions. Oh, XTF, they were a bit around. Reavers came around later. There was also the other Outcast faction. Oh, what were they called? ISMD or something like that. I am GMD something. There was a whole bunch of Outcast factions going about when I was there. And there would be like Daily Raids, New York, Daily Raids, Sigmas, whatever. There's TBH, the Smiley Face faction.
Yes.
I don't know the actual name. I just call them the Smiley Face.
Is that their tag? Is this the Smiley
Face? It's Smiley Face. It's like two colons and then a capital letter C. So it looks like a smiley face. And like,
oh, I know you're talking about Smiley Face faction. Some like Latin name. Fuck yeah, it's. I know what you're talking about. I've seen a couple of them pop that tag every once in a while here and there.
Yeah, well, last time I saw one was 2022, I think.
Right? Yeah, and I think that's about the same for me.
That's the last time I've ever seen one. It was just one guy, too. Not like more, like two, three, four. It's just one guy.
Well, that's an idea for a pirate faction. Do kind of like the Batman Joker, you know, like a Joker. Faction, so everyone creates an AI rendition of the Joker. It's just smiley face with the tag.
They actually have something similar now. It's
there is like a almost a smiley face tag now, I think, isn't there?
Yeah, it's a frowny face though.
Oh, okay.
It's so
goofy.
The roleplay is really bizarre. It doesn't fit the faction at all, but it's hilarious. What were they called? They're a lane hacker faction. I know that.
Oh, that's right. Somebody told me it was the girlfriend faction or something like that. Or I don't know.
Those are the Dublin. I think the GF.
No, I'm not. Yeah, I got them confused. Yeah, you're right. But the lane hacker one, they have like really goofy posts. I saw a couple of them.
Yeah, they have like XOXO at the bottom. Like, I don't remember lane hackers role playing like that before.
Right.
you get pirated by one and they start out with ooh woo.
Jesus. I see that. I want to drop one, two, and explode them.
Yeah.
We are in strange times, it seems.
Yeah. I mean, it's not as bad right now.
So tell me about Hitman. I know that you were. I want to say that faction started not long after I joined, but maybe you can.
It started before you joined and before I came back. So I left 2018 around Gallic War, towards the end of the middle sort of thing. So I was like, had enough of this go. Done about everything. Met some interesting people who are gone. Like, I've met a few people who are banned, not mentioned their names, but salute to those people. Met a few other people who ended up not liking me, so I had interesting stories from there. But when I came back, which was 2020, I want to say September, November, almost 2021, and this faction started around January. Two hitmen, looking for contracts, messing about. That's all it was in the beginning. I don't really know much else until I joined, and there was already a established thing of Xenon, Jord, eventually you and Racer as well, Damsoul, who was the founder of Hitman. He was Hitman 47, along with his right-hand man at the time, Hitman 48, I think. And there was also Silverado, Hitman 77, I believe.
Oh, I remember Silverado.
Or 71, I forget. One of those numbers. Never actually formally met him. Just remember seeing him talk.
Yeah, Silverado, he hasn't been around in a hot minute.
Yeah, missing.
Yeah,
and you got your iconic name that you're known for today.
Yeah, Hitman 76. And some people just still call me Hitman. Like, I have a name called Locke, but okay. You can tell me that if you want.
So what is with the name Locke? Why did you choose Locke?
Easy to remember. It just is. I don't understand why people go so-and-so, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, why?
Yeah, I hate those. I absolutely detest those names. That's like everybody making a Gmail back in the early 2000s.
That's Hank Rover level stuff right there. It's like, why is your name Locke? Because it's just 4 letters, easy to keep track.
Yeah, that's good.
Which, by the way, speaking of names, you dropped a name there, Racer Dude. I'm Racer Dude, also known as Stugar.
Yeah. I first saw that guy. Like,
he's actually Racer Dude, originally also known as Stugar. Like,
yeah, and I changed it after Zentro was like, yeah, when I first met you, I thought you were like some teen kid. I'm like, yeah, nope, middle-aged man.
must have wore heavy on his soul.
It did.
I was sure that you were like some like prepubescent 13-year-old.
Just picking his nose as I'm PvPing. Yeah, so that actually kind of draws me to what I wanted to raise up as a point. So I started out as Racer Dude because of back when I played Vanilla Freelancer in the early 2000s. I thought, oh, it'd be cool if some, you know, an old friend saw me, you know, I'd be able to, you know, meet up with him and, you know, say hello again, which never happened. So it was already a plan in the books to rename myself. And so kind of thinking about back in the day, back in our original stories of what brought us to online Freelancer, I've noticed a trend of previous guests talk about one, maybe two communities that they were a part of before finding Discovery. But Locke, it sounds like you really jumped around quite a bit because you were looking for something and you just couldn't quite find it at certain places. And you didn't really find it until you found it here at Discovery with the level and quality of PvP that you were looking for.
Yeah, not just that, though, but like the fact that I had a role play, you can like act as certain people. It's like, oh, that's different.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this was the first full, like, real dedicated role play server I had been on as well.
Yeah.
But whenever I was playing my early CR days, I remember like going into Connecticut and dueling with Hitman 76. I had no idea player. And just getting absolutely wiped over and over and over. But is Gunboat your preferred, like your favorite platform to be PvPing?
I'm split on all ships. Right now it's Snubs. I'm completely like trying to get away from the Cap Addiction because like if I touch it again, I'll start going another rampage. I'm like, I've done it so many times, I'm like, nope. Give people a break and they don't need to see it anymore. So
how do you, sorry, go ahead.
I'm just trying to get on faster stuff again, but like caps, if I had to choose a favorite, I guess Gunboat or Cruisers. Like that was my first, those two.
Gotcha. So how do you feel having had such a long history of PvPing on Disco about 5.0, the changes, how do you feel about them? Are they better for you? Are they worse? Is it specifically better on snubs versus caps?
Well, especially energy core stuff with caps.
That what they've done makes sense to a degree, because you can't just have someone be untouchable and consider that fair. Because I remember I used to fly the Gunboat and the Mako and the Rancher, all of those, all the time. Those three ships. Gunboat, my battleship during that, those three. And a cruiser here and there just to mess about. But I was just, for some people, they could not de-shield me, no matter what they did. I've had battle cruisers duel me, the battleships, gunboats, just almost every to any combination. And some people got so angry that I felt bad at some point. Like, I was, what was his name? Kustine, I think? We had a duel once. He was in 46th at the time. He was on the LABC or Liberty Battlecruiser. I was on the Mako. And we're just going at it in Connecticut. He shoots a mortar. I dodge, misses. here's another one, I dodge, misses, and then I just go bam bam with heavy mortars and both. And we go on, like, this repeats over and over again. He dodges a few, like, dodging more. And then eventually he just gets so angry, he starts turning around and tanks me just to get whole damage, because he was so annoyed that he couldn't lay a single shot. It killed him.
Wow.
But, like, he was this, I feel bad for some people, like, I do go a bit extreme on the dodging and the aiming, so I try to teach. I've been a while since I've taught anyone, but, like, if I could teach people to have been good, I could do that.
So, okay. So I'm not known for my PvP. I don't
know.
Really do
it. No.
Yeah, I'm not that good anymore. I don't know. It's weird. My level of PvP seems to decline as my age inclines.
Yeah. But,
So surely somebody listening that isn't involved in the PvP scene, they might want to do some PvP, but just, you know, they don't, you know, they go to con and everyone's kind of doing their own thing. What would you recommend somebody that might be interested in getting either re-entering into the PvP scene or have never really done it before, but want to give it a try? What would you recommend somebody do to get involved in PvP?
Well, there's two Discord servers. One, there's the main PvP server, which is where all the snubbers hang out, all the aces, old time, new time, all those people. And then there's also the Cap PvP server, where they have all the highest, best capital ship players hang out. It's like different
classes. Really? I didn't know these things existed.
Yeah, I didn't know either. Yeah, we should definitely plug that when we post the episode in the forum. We should definitely put a... just make sure these... inclusive or rather exclusive Discord, or is anyone welcome to join?
Anyone's welcome. It's just they're not advertised enough.
They're not like, going to tell us to get good as soon as we join.
No, I won't tell you that. I don't tell you that. Some might, but I don't. Like, PvP is open to everybody. It's open to anyone wishing to get better. Like, all the snub bases are realizing there's not as many as there was, because majority left them. Like, majority of the best left. Around 2017, 2016, like XTF, they were getting married and leaving. Reavers, they weren't playing as much anymore either. Like, there's just a whole bunch of people who are gone now, and they realize that. So they want to teach people, they want to see people raise up and get good and have fun and all that. Same thing with Caps. There's not many people who know what the heck Strafus is, Blindfire is. Not very many people know that. Every time I mention it, people are like, what the hell is that? I'm like, oh, yeah, no one knows anymore. Or like, some people don't even understand the basic concept of blind fire, so I try to teach that also.
Wow, I think that he might be able to dumb it down enough for Racer and I to have a chance.
Well, so that's the thing. I've tried blind fire before, and I don't even understand how you hit somebody. I mean, I got the blindfold right here next to me. We could try right now in con. I just.
You can keep your bedroom accoutrements to yourself. We don't need that on the podcast. All right.
Oh,
whatever
boy.
You
oh,
use.
All right. Next topic. So the blind fire, they've kind of changed that a little bit, because it used to be you have to go and create the way you set your weapons groups, so that you don't have the reticle, but there's a option in the menu that shows, was it aiming difficulty or something?
It's reticle snap, I think. I've never tried using it. I still do it the old way. The old way, it's not precise anymore, but it still works. But I think the way reticle snap works, like, you know, when you hover your cursor over the crosshair, it starts spinning, right?
Yeah.
And your guns start trying to track the target. If you toggle the reticle snap, it prevents that from happening. And theory, you get a more accurate shot without needing the crosshair, which is interesting. I haven't yet to try it, but never really bothered. I'm like, oh, I'll have a crosshair. I'm not going to shoot it, but I'm going to shoot you anyway.
So Zentor and I, we get on tonight, and we just want to, you know, blow stuff up and, you know, get drunk, maybe take some substances and just have a good time. We up that level, or we add the reticle snapping. So basically be like GTA 5, where you just hit the aim button and it snaps to a bad guy. That'd be pretty cool.
I don't think that's how that works, but
no.
No, the podcast does not embrace or condone the use of substances in any single way, unless it is specifically cardamine.
Yes. Well, that's what I'm talking about. Of course, substances, cardamine, which we discovered this morning, they got rid of synthetic marijuana. That is a load of baloney.
That was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. It's in Cryer's founding lore.
Yeah.
Very sad.
I'm going to double check. I've noticed black market pharmaceuticals, the file code for that is marijuana. So I think they coded the synthetic marijuana. That, yeah, there's no synthetic marijuana in here. That is a load of shige.
Rename, maybe?
Yeah, they renamed it. They repurposed it, but that's awful. So, after Hitman, what other factions have you been a part of?
I've mostly been an indie, messing around. Ooh, Scraz logging. Let me get my carrier. Ooh, Outcast are logging. Let me get my range shore or whatever. So I've been basically a little bit everywhere. Okay. Tried joining a few Navy factions. That didn't work out. Because they weren't very organized. I'm like, this isn't working out. This isn't Hitman or whatever. They just weren't organized and they were getting wrecked every time. They would get to the forums arguing all the time. Like, yeah, I had enough of this. I don't need that. But and then HS was around. It's like, I'll just fly around with those guys. Or RM. And eventually, DTR shows up. I'm like, who are these guys? And then they start logging stupid numbers. I'm in Munich. First time I've ever encountered these guys. I was by myself in Munich. And I see one log. Oh, it's the DTR. Hope he gives me a note. I see two more logs. I'm like, why are they logging so much? By this time, it's all over. There's 11 DTR waiting by the Munich jump hole on the Munich side. And I see them pop up on radar one by one. And eventually, RM logged, but we get absolutely obliterated. It was 3v11. And then I was like, okay, those guys logged a million capital ships. I need to get the Hitman over here. Because what we were doing at the time was camping the Omega 7 for roleplay purposes. We were roleplaying with RM, pirates, Mindy, that sort of thing. And I had our carrier there, the Bastion. We were just sitting around doing whatever. So it was me, Hitman 97, our bomber guy, Hitman 47, Hitman 48, Hitman 27, 26, a few others. I can't quite remember. Hitman 82, maybe. There's just a bunch of different Hitman coming and going at that point. So we weren't extremely active, but I was like, you know, let's go make Ryland military ships. And George and Hitman 47 agreed, and we did that. We were making LBs, Bismarcks, that sort of thing, trying to help out the Ryland military. And then it's just us five. It's me. I remember who it was exactly. It was me, Estrito, Jord, Damsel, and a random from RM. Like, he's a gunboat. Just us five. DTR locked 12 ships. 12 ships. I'm like, we're not going to win this. But after like half an hour, 45 minutes, we did.
Wow.
So we somehow won. Even though we lost like a ship or two, we lost RM gunboat. Remember that. And I think Jord also died, or almost died, but somehow they were, like, lacking in all of the coordination. Like, you have a million battleships, a million bombers, why are you not just Zerg rushing us? They could easily done that. But I guess base pulses were so scary back then that they didn't want to.
Wow.
So, off topic, but on topic, have you ever seen the Bourne series, Bourne, with Matt Damon?
I've heard of it, but I don't regularly watch shows on TV. I just see snippets every now and then.
So he's basically like a super, super duper agent that has amnesia. He doesn't remember. But so the project that he's a part of, like especially in the first movie, they start sending other agents out to get him because they don't want him like out loose and in the public and stuff. And there's a scene where one of the agents, he's going to his little lockbox and he's flipping through passports of all the different countries that he has, and he finds the one that he's going to, So as you're explaining that you have these ships all of everywhere, I'm envisioning this scene of like flipping through these passports and like, okay, this is the one. I'm going to log my Rhineland battleship or my Liberty Dreadnought or, you know, whatever it is. So you have a, you've got a presence everywhere. You could pretty much wherever the action is, you could log and lock and load.
If there was a big fleet battle, I was probably there. Not as much anymore, though. Nowadays, I'm farm-lancing like I'm retired. And I can tend to get more sitting around and there's no one there. I'm just sitting there.
So do you prefer like big scrums with a lot of things going on, or do you prefer the one-on-one?
I'm the duelist. I want the 1v1. I'm always 1v1. I remember going to Connecticut. I said, who 1v1? And then no one would say anything. And then someone would say, I'll go.
You know who you are.
And then other people would just like and say no. I've beaten them so bad before they had enough. Moonlighting be one of these. He's like, nope, no more. He doesn't want to fight anybody nowadays anymore. It's sad. No. He used to be better than I was. And he is just a madman. Like, he had aim like no one else, dodging like no one else. Sometimes I wanted to scream because I thought I would line up a perfect shot. It just could not miss because ordinary players could not dodge it. But somehow he could. Like, I did not understand that man. He was a different level than I was.
If D-Lock show up, it's like, yeah, no thanks. I don't want to catch that L.
Yeah. I mean, some people are like, they know they would lose, but they want to practice anyway, so they give it a go or two, blow up, right, and try again. I'm not unstoppable, though. There has been a few randoms who have completely hit me over. I'm like, how? I remember this one Legate. He did not speak English. He spoke Russian. Not any English. But he knew basic English enough to say, go, ready, go. Like, he would ask the question, go. I was like, I'll go. And I thought I was going to beat him, because, one, the gate's ginormous. Two, most people don't know how to fly the gate. The gate's ginormous. And his build was so horrendous, I thought I was going to beat him. He had 4 pulses and 4 hellbores.
Oh my god.
I thought it was, I couldn't stop laughing because that is not a good build. It just wasn't. But somehow he made it good. And I got absolutely obliterated. There was nothing I could do. Absolutely nothing. Because the way he would do it, he would fire 1 pulse. And then after that, he would fire a hellbore. And he would have a consistent chain fire of this, like a freaking laser beam. So dodging all of it was, in theory, impossible. I just could not do it. I was getting just shielded to me. I was like, that's not normal. No one ever does that. And he starts just destroying me. I couldn't touch him. And he knew how to fly the gate as well. He like this, the way you're supposed to fly it, you're supposed to dodge up and down, not left and right. Like, why? If your ship's wide and fat, you're going to go up and down, not left and right.
Right.
But he knew this, so he abused the heck out of it. And I was missing my heavy mortars left and right. I was missing my primaries consistently. He just knew the timing and everything. Like, wow, good job. And after he beat me, he said, Rusty, and then locked off. No idea who this guy was.
And he disappeared back into the void.
I never saw him again either. He was seen as something, but I don't remember what. I never saw him again.
It was, for everybody that was listening, that his name was CNS LOL what? And that was me.
I was about to take credit too. Like, that was actually me. I was just messing with you. I was going like 40%.
That was my off day, but
I was giving my best. I couldn't touch him.
I do remember, so before the big changes, so I was actually pretty decent in caps. Like, I'm not a trendsetter or a needle mover or anything, but I could hold my own with caps, get some kills in scrums and stuff. And I remember one fight I was in, they launched, like, everyone launched their mortars on the other side, and it's like, holy crap. And 2 or 3 of us got killed. And I was thinking, man, this is how I know I'm not good at PvP, because I cannot keep up. I don't even know what these tactics are anymore, but they worked. It was insane. So speaking of tactics, you know, especially with the 5.0, PvP's changed, the caps, I know there's been a lot of discussion about the caps and the energy core. You know, it seems like some ships you can't even keep up a line of fire with the secondaries. So it's really,
Julia.
You know, you have to time your shots, or you really have to be careful of how you shoot. How do you feel about that? And then also, when he finished talking about that, there's been some rules that have been revamped, especially when it comes to ganking and offsetting advantages. How do you feel about PvP that formerly used to be etiquette now becoming a rule? What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's good and bad at the same time, because it's something you can't enforce it, because it's an opinion, not a fact, because everyone has a different quote of saying what a gank is. For me, it's a 1v12. For others, it's a 1v2. And they immediately go to the forum saying, these two ganked me, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, that's not a gank. Other people say the same thing, and then people go on with life. And then some guy will get ganked 1v8 and then say, oh, that wasn't a gank because I'm better than all 8 of those players and I snagged them up in death or whatever. That was normal. So it's really a chicken balance thing. You have to really be careful of saying, like, who's really being the bait here? Like, who's really causing this to happen? Is it the one guy engaging 3 people? Is it the other way around? So the admins have to be really careful about that thing. There's only been one sanction, as far as I'm concerned, about ganking so far, and that was like a 1v5 or something. So, like, that was more genuine than other claims. Like, if you're one guy, and then you're in a bomber, or a gunboat, whatever, it doesn't matter what you're flying, and there's a whole fleet just sitting there role-playing, or not even thinking to shoot you, and then you go over there to shoot them, don't expect a 1v1. That's just not how it works. If you get a 1v1, you're the luckiest man alive, but you're not gonna, normally you won't get a 1v1. Oh, we're getting shot at, take care of them. And then right. That one guy is going to say, oh, they ganked me, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's not a gank. You forced them to shoot back at you because they were annoyed at the fact you came and disrupted whatever they're doing, roleplay or otherwise. But the other way around, those same 3 ships say, oh, there's one guy who shot at us, let's go get him. And it's like they log a few more ships or whatever, it becomes a 1v6. That's a gank. Directly, purposely going after one person or two and then saying GG, that's not fair. It just isn't.
It's just not a GG.
No, it's not a GG at all.
So I think if this is the same one that you were talking about with the gank, I think that they reversed the sanction and they gave the money back. I saw it on the forum this morning.
Oh, okay.
Like 3 hours ago or so. It looks like they may have reversed that one because it was prior to when the rule was actually a rule. So technically they didn't have a rule break.
Oh, I get it. They couldn't enforce it. I remember seeing someone post about they're gonna not reject but retake all the sanctions. Like, oh, we didn't sanction you because now the rule's being enforced or whatever.
Yeah, which I think is really cool, because I think before, and especially people, and we all know who, or, you know, we can kind of, you know, place names, but the admin staff and the moderator staff, I feel like has gotten better over the past year, because I feel like before it'd be too much of an ego trip, and we can't admit fault on this, we can't allow ourselves to look weak or look indifferent. So the fact that they're taking a look at it and they're reversing things, I view as a really good thing. So we'll go ahead and put a kudos to the admin and the moderator team for
doing understanding. Their job. Playing Eagle Lancer, playing Freelancer. That should be.
That's right. Setting the ego aside when the cause is greater than you and the community is a greater cause. So it's really good. It's really good to see that. And then so to your point, because I was thinking about it a little bit too, just as far as, you know, well, what is an even matchup? So if you have a dreadnought or a battleship go up against a bomber. Now I don't know with recent balancing, I've heard that a bomber or even in some cases a fighter can take down a battleship, which is ridiculous, but. But a typical scenario, one bomber or one fighter should not be able to take down a battleship. So it should take multiples of those. So To equate a fair fight or ganking simply to numbers, I don't think is correct. And then even from there, how do you balance it? If you have a, even if you, everyone's in snubs, if you get somebody like Zentor and I, and then Locke shows up and he wants to fight us in roleplay, well, there's no way Zentor and I will, maybe me, I might be able to take you on.
But, get the hell out of here.
But yeah, it's not a snowball's chance in hell that Zentor and I one-on-one can take someone like you down. So it's going to have to be a 2v1. So how do you balance that? And it would be nice if the community can self-police that. I remember I did a fight a couple years ago. Some rogue showed up in New York and I was on a LPI and it was three of us. And we started fighting, and during the fight, he private messaged us, and we were all in voice chat, private messaged each of us and said, all come and fight. Everyone come and fight. And so we were talking about it in voice chat, like, do we all jump in here? It's like, that's what he wants. So we all jump in, and we just got smeared. And so we're all dead. And next thing we know, he goes to Khan. So we follow him to Khan. And we muck around a little bit, and he's giving us little pointers and stuff. That was really cool. So whoever that was, I don't even remember the name. It was one of those, he wasn't tagged as a rogue, but those players that fly as rogues, but they come up with those really creative names. The one name I could think of, this wasn't the person, but the one name I could think of, somebody named themselves Mother Fondler. I was like, that's such a creative, because it's like, It's edgy, but it's not crossing a line, and it's really funny. So whoever that was, I give you salute. That was really cool that you did that one day. But so it's really hard to figure out what is balance as far as PvP, how to keep things equal, and I hope that the community players, the PvP community can better self-police themselves so that, you know, we don't get back to the day where there's a individual rule for everything.
Yeah. Like, balance-wise was what you were mentioning. There's no perfection in balance. There just isn't. There's always going to be one thing that works better. There's always going to be one thing that's cheesy. There's always going to be one thing that's broken. Just how it is. But there was a proposed system a long time ago that was ignored, but it was a really interesting system. And it made it so bombers really had to coordinate to win. You can't just fire torpedoes, fly in a straight line, turn around, and do the same thing over and over until they die. Mm-hmm. Because the proposed idea was nerf snub ranges of all kinds to 300 meters max, and make secondaries and battleships like 1,000. So you really had to coordinate and like really had to gang up on something. But being the developers, they have more of a knowledgeable asset, I would say, to snubs than they do caps. Although they have their people in caps, they're more akin to snubs. So they said, no, that's a stupid idea. We're not doing that. Which made sense, because for some people that will be impossible. You can bring 10 bombers and they won't be able to do anything. They're all getting smacked at range. But at the same time, the capital player, he's in the big dreadnought that he spent millions on. He spends roleplay with it, assuming he roleplays with it. Because back in the day, roleplay on capital ships was 1-2, I'm shooting everybody and causing mayhem. Like, and people gave capital ships a bad name, especially in snub fights. Like, you have a 1v1 snub. This has happened to me once. 1v1, and all of a sudden, a Ranstor or Bismarck comes out and starts shooting both of you. I'm like, what are you doing? This is a snub 1v1. We don't need a ginormous capital ship helping me. Like, this is ridiculous. So, it's both ways, but it's really hard to get that center line, which they're trying to close in on, and they kind of aren't. Like, the power core situation is straight up awful. You shoot your secondaries for a few seconds, all your energy's gone. But you can shoot heavy mortars left and right over and over again. And so it's a little iffy at the moment. They're working on it. They're testing things. Like, this is not, like, everyone's saying this is awful. balance sucks right now, blah, blah, blah. Yes, keyword, right now. This isn't the final phase. This is them testing things, them getting feedback, them figuring things out, what works, what doesn't. They've been through this process before. Caps back then were completely different, I can tell you. You could mount, Moon Landing used to say 32 slots of freedom on a Bismarck and Ranch, because you could mount any kind of weapon of any time, of any placement, of any amount. You can have 28 Cerberus guns if you want it, 28 primaries, 28 flax, 28 missiles. You can have anything back then. And it was a lot simpler back then, too. It was like you would have your main, you had your mortars, heavy mortars, primaries, pulses, Cerberus, and nightmare torpedoes. That was it. It was no fancy code names, no silly, oh, I'm going to win because my ship's better than your stuff. It was really about how you used your build and who could do what. Like, if you had four mortars against a guy with four Cerberus, if the guy with four Cerberus gets close enough because the guy with four mortars was an idiot and didn't know how to turn around in time, he's going to die because DPS mathematically should kill him. Unless the mortar guy got enough shots to hurt the guy so bad that he can't make up all that time he lost. And vice versa, if the Cerberus guy can't bait the other guy to come back in range and get close enough to shoot him, then the mortar guy would just pummel the other person. And then for Nightmare Torpedo, that thing was a monster. I personally think it was broken. You shoot one of those things, you shoot another one, you knock half the guy's guns off with one. This is so bad. Like, you couldn't flak the thing to CDM. So in 1v1s, they were an absolute nightmare to fight against. And, like, some things were a bit iffy, some things weren't. Like I said, there's always going to be something broken, something fishy, and something absolutely hilarious. They always change. There's nothing that's going to stay this way. They're currently working on it. They're doing a good job. Because if I'm in a Mako, and I win a 1v3, and my shields are still up, that's not right. I shouldn't be winning that. Mathematically, I just should not be winning that. Like, you're three different capital ships. You're three different people who have different mindsets, different ways of doing something. But if they do all of what they can, and these are good players, by the way, not like people who are starting, people who are very at the bottom, three good players, three meta setups, and they can't touch me. That's not right. So you have to have a balance that works for everybody, or at least majority of players, because if you don't, there's going to be a whole bunch of more bickering, more arguing, more points at this, points at that, and we're just going to keep going in circles and circles. So hopefully they do get the balance down, which I think they are, because, like, I'm not untouchable anymore. Like, there are some fights where, oh, I messed up, I'm dead. Like, and you can't fix it. If you mess up, that's your fault. Like, and you can't, like, easily get out of it anymore. You can't do something cheesy. Like, I remember there was this one cruiser guy, and this was during cleanup. I think it was Outcast versus Corsairs? Gamma? I can't remember. But I remember this Prefect, and he was trying to run away from us, and he was getting shot from mortars, heavy mortars, left and right. So he eventually gave up. And then he started turning around towards us. Like, oh, he's dead, he's an idiot. But what he did was genius. He took his ship into engine kill. This was, like, before cruisers were changed, there was still engine kill and stuff. And he straight up started ramming into me. And, like, what is he doing? And the other, everyone else was saying CDM, because if you don't, he's going to get away. And he did. Because what happens is, back with engine kill, what you could do was ram another capital ship, and if your velocity was right and their movement was right, they can knock you 20 kilometers away, and they can just escape, which wasn't right. It was really cheesy. I've had that happen to me in duels. Like, people get mad and roleplay, and they do that, and they get away. I'm like, are you serious? We were fighting. Accept your death.
Wow. So have you been actively participating in any test groups or contributing to the balance
I've been
team?
Asked once or twice to be a tester. I'm like, nope, don't put me in there, because then it won't be fun, because then everything will just be a math problem all over again. I want to,
sounds like it already is.
Yes and no, but I don't want to enjoy it from a tester's perspective. I want to play it as a player. I want to just play the game, see what works, what doesn't, find more cheesy builds and mess with them until people get
you don't
angry.
Want it to be work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting. Locke is the explorer, but in the PvP sense, he wants to find what's good on his own by exploring.
Yeah, I don't want to have retold numbers, retold why it works, doesn't. I just want to play. That's all. I just want to use my heavy motors to shoot people. Even though they've nerfed them like 4 different times already, I still use them.
That is cool, though, that they reach out to you for to test and for feedback. So,
I haven't done it since. My idea was pretty stupid, I think. Like, they asked, they're in Connecticut. It was 2 OXO guys. And they were asking, what would you do if 3 bombers were here and you were losing? Well, how would you balance? I would say, give the bombers a chance. Give the capital ship a chance. They didn't agree with it because they thought 3 bombers should win. Which, in theory, they should, but at the same time, you're 3 tiny ships. In real life, that won't work. You can throw 50 tiny ships against a big, ginormous dreadnought, and they're all going to die within a millisecond. Because you can't dodge like that, and how you can't feel it. You will break G4, it just won't work. Fighters don't work. But on Freelancer, it's a sandbox, you do whatever you want. But 3 bombers, 1 dreadnought, it should be 50-50. But they were saying more like 75-10. I'm like, okay, whatever. They haven't asked since, but they asked some people here and there. But then they have official testers like Colbert Lai, Sir John Knight, Fab. They have actual people who know what they're doing, whether their science good.
Yeah, gotcha. I imagine it should be kind of like those Pacific Theater World War II videos where the planes are coming in, kind of strafing the big ships and. You know, you don't see like one plane coming in, dropping a bomb, and then the battleship blowing up. You know, multiple planes after multiple passes, and then you know they'll be lucky if they damage it to the point where that they do significant damage. So that's hopefully that's the direction that they're heading with the balancing of it.
Yeah, I think they are. So like at the moment, bombers are completely broken. They beat up very heavy fighters again. They have rage torpedoes, which you can't do anything about, which is bugged. They're going to fix the next patch. Like, you're supposed to be able to shoot torpedoes with secondaries and blow up. And I do it all the time, it works. Or flax, whatever. But rage torpedoes, you can't shoot them down. They're kind of bugged at the moment. They don't have a real hitbox. You have to shoot them at a really weird angle at a really precise timing to even hit them. And I've only exploded one. Every other rage torpedo has missed or hit me. So, like, bombers with rage torpedoes, you're gonna die. But they're working on it.
Interesting. Well, that's a lot of information about PvPing, and it's super interesting. But I wanted to get to asking you about your latest project, the ARM project, and what that's all about.
So, my favorite factions since I've come back was Core. Always has been. Like, they have amazing ZOI. They have a whole bunch of different edgy factions to interact with, and it's just a dangerous place to be. I'm like, oh, nobody's here. I wonder why that. Oh, there's no factions to enforce that. There's no player base here. I want to re-centralize things back to the Omicrons, kind of, because, like, House Space, no one's really there. Simbas, no one's really there. Tau's, some people are here and there, but Omegas, Omicrons are ginormous.
Tess, Tau's for the win.
No, we'll see. Funny enough, there is one Tau in Core ZOI. So you might see us there. Mm. But from all the way from that one Tau all the way down up to Omega 3, ginormous sea on the right side of Sirius. And like, he'll do a whole parade every now and then. Like, try to revive factions that are gone. Let's just bring back activity Omicrons, Omegas, and stuff. Like, we're not going to be Core 2 Electric Boogaloo like everyone thinks we are. No, we're going to take it a completely different direction. We're going to do very different roleplay. We're going to do it a bit more specific, a bit more extreme. Because, like, the original Core, they were originally called Bounty Hunter Core. Before that, they were just bounty hunters trying to survive on the Omicrons. And the story was they were founded from AM, which is, what was it, something manufacturing. And they had capital ships being built and forged by Liberty Navy in Alaska. They had the cruiser there and the battleship there and the gunboat built there. And I believe later on they built their own battle cruiser and Omicron Row. So basically, they're this military private PMC kind of thing that started up from the Liberty Navy, help from Ryland, help from their own APM. And they just started getting stronger and stronger until eventually they had their own system, which was Omicron Row, and later on, Omicron Delta. But cohort in the actual game, what they would do was 1, 2, we're shooting you. We're going to be not like that. We're not going to straight up go 1, 2, shooting you now. GG, see you in 3 days later. We're not going to do that. We're going to do more forum-based roleplay, more interesting, kind of nosy sort of thing. Like, core has always been about technology. That's mine. You have technology? Oh, that cannot be. We still have better technology. So we're going to try to keep to that image, try to not be completely weird. It's a completely new direction, but new direction enough that people won't be seeing Core 2, the Chick-Bulu-Gulu, or Force 2.0, or whatever. So basically, we're going to try to limit how we PvP, how much we PvP. We're still going to go out and fight people, but we're not going to go about and say, log, 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 and spam macos everywhere. No, we're not going to do that. So I want to have more scientific approach to this. Like, they're going to really try to strike out best of resources, best of refinement, try to really grab on to what is science and just try to solve that mystery. And anyone getting in their way is going to get shot at or just whatever. But they're going to be more of the bad guys. The core has always been the bad guys. Bad image, bad reputation, weird rumors. I'm going to take that to a different level. ARM is going to be seen as the bad guys. People are going to know they're the bad guys, but no one can prove it. Like, no one can say, you're doing this and that. We're going to prosecute you for whatever. No one can do it.
You know, Lemon once described to me, because I was like, I fuck core. I don't know about it. I don't know anything about their RP, but they seem weird, you know, a long time ago. And he explained it to me one time. He's like, no, core is great. They're like the evil empire out there. They're like Darth Vader on the edge of the galaxy. And, you know, you could just like do anything out there and just, you know, enforce your laws and stuff like that. And so that was my impression of core for a long time.
They're kind of like that. They're a bit more of a corporate thing. They kind of remind me of Agosha. They do bad things, but no one sees it unless you're like really deep within their ranks, kind
of. Reminds us of a corporation we know, Racer.
I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. We're kind of like the mafia, where like, you know, they do the shady things, but you know, they'll donate to the charity.
Oh yeah, so
for the children. Yeah, but yeah. The little write up we got from you sounds like they're like borderline fanaticism. Like,
yeah, we're going to be absolutely maniacs. Like, they're going to be little cuckoo. Like, we have like our whole structure is based off quote red admirals, which in old Navy terms, that meant he was in charge of every admiral, every military option, every Navy ship. He was in charge of all of it. So we have three different ones. And they're all in charge of three different branches. One of them's in charge of science, research, and study, all that. He's a bit of a lunatic himself. His name is Cornelius Adam Warren. So he's going to be an interesting character, I think. He sounds amazing. And he actually introduced the Hello Inferior Beings, which we thought was hilarious when we first saw it in roleplay. And we said that to Order. We said that to Nomad. Like, we just did not care. So, like, we're going to go, you know what? That's going to be our thing. We're going to be completely ignorant to everybody. We're going to be very stubborn, very rude, very extremist in the way of, oh, you exist, prepare to die. So, and my character is going to be an old guy. I've always roleplayed with him. His name was Duke Silverton. I never posted biography or anything, but anyone who saw War Vessel Lockdown would have seen that character. He's really stubborn, really mean, really aggressive. If you don't take orders well, he's going to shout at you kind of thing. He has an absolute passion for Corsairs. He loves them. No, he absolutely hates them. If he sees Corsairs, he's going to go ballistic, that kind of thing. And a third character, he doesn't have a name yet. We're thinking of, he's going to be semi-military, but he's going to be, like, they're all militaristic. They're all admirals. They all have a say in what the plan is, or what the overall operations are. But they all have their specific things. Science for one, like the overall leadership military for me, and there's the other guy who's going to be more towards the APM stuff. He's going to be really greedy, I think. He's going to make like money, and just like try to found their arm and like promote it and have like more stations, more ads. Like, join arm, we're the best of the best. Everyone says so, gets shot down, that sort of thing.
So, would you consider ARM to be more Empire Builders or World Burners?
World Burners.
World Burners.
The previous core was Empire Builder. We're gonna completely change that. Like, we're still gonna have an Empire, but we're gonna just destroy everything, all for the name of science and all that sort of jazz.
That's awesome.
As your faction goals, do you plan to become official? And then also, is there any SRP or asset or anything that going into this you're thinking, oh, it'd be really cool if we get this thing?
Well, we want to hit officialdom. We want to have a core 5. But our main thing that's been out, that's it. Order wants it as well. So they're supposed to, if we get it, they get one as well. So it's kind of a give me, give you kind of thing. But we have to role play it. We're going to have to really, really role play like no other thing. And it's 10 years that I've been told out of date. Like, it's long overdue. And that's a core dreadnought for everyone to use. And there's a few models out there, but they've been denied. There's been people who tried to make some, they've been denied. But there's not enough role play to centralize. We need a dreadnought. But if we can hit the right spot and really promote the fact that dreadnought, Ishtar, why don't we have something like that? Like, Core wants bigger ships. They want more might, more military, more aggressive tactics. They're going to want the best of the best. So having a dreadnought for the Core makes sense. But at the same time, Order, if we get a dreadnought, so does Order, just to balance things. Because it won't be fair if we have one, they don't. Because they're just going to have the light battleship, and that's it. But their dreadnought model, there's a bunch of problems with it. I think somewhere in the engine compartment, there's a weird, funky frame, the weird, funky wiregrams that just doesn't make it quite work as a playable model for some reason. Like, they can't quite work it out. Like, have you guys seen, it's an Omicron Mew called the Thebes? Or Thebes?
I guess you haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't been out there, at least since the latest update.
So somewhere outside one of the main stations, there's the Dreadnought Thebes, which was the main operation ship for Omicron Minor, when the Normans assaulted and absolutely destroyed everybody and burned their homeworld to the ground. That ship was there. And back then it was just an Osiris, but they've, over the years, kind of like updated, upgraded it, changed it, and it's the most advanced ship out there. More advanced than Nomad, more advanced than Rylan military. Like, it's the most advanced ship of the humankind. And there's only one of them, which is that one. And they've tried to post that as their dreadnought model, but they've been told no, because there's a few problems with it, that this won't work, they're going to need a whole new model. So if we get one, they're also going to have to get one. So it's, we have to work on both sides to make it work kind of thing.
Yeah, and I imagine it does make sense to have some. I don't think core or even order, because that's not really their dick, at least not what I feel like, having these big fleets and armadas to kind of break through stuff. But I do feel like some heavy equipment's required, at least to combat the Nomads, because the Order, their primary enemy is the Nomads. The Core, I'd like to imagine, to some extent, their primary enemy is also the Nomads. So as ARM, is that also a focus of your group, is to is to exterminate the Nomad threat, or is it still
extermination, nasty tentacles to get rid of? So basically the science department will be, like, there's going to be like 3 different fleets. They're all going to be in different areas. One's going to be more fighting the Order and the Nomads. One's going to be mainly focusing Nomads. And there's another one, like, no, how does it work? Okay, oh, I remember. It's going to be one against Nomads and Order. There will be like North Fleet. Be like the scientist guy. He's gonna want all the data, prevent the Order from getting it, steal it from the Nomads, destroy everybody. There's gonna be a second fleet that heads down south to fight Corsairs and Red Hessians and establish southern establishments of the Core, like more Stefan Theta, maybe try to enforce a position in Kappa a bit. And he's gonna be my character. That's gonna be my roleplay, Southern Fleet. And then the third guy, he's going to try to hold the whole entrance to the Omicrons that we go through, which is the Omegas. He's going to be fighting Coalition, Red Hessians, and stuff like that. And he's going to start trying to hold a trade route. Like, we're barely surviving in roleplay. Like, the way they have the Omicrons listed right now is there's only 2 entrances. Omicron Alpha from the Taos, and Omicron Gamma from the Omegas. There's only two ways, so we had to choose. And we're like, we're not going to go through outcast territory to piss them off. We're going to go south and continue pissing off Corsairs and establish a supply route to keep us going. Because the Omicron new connection's been severed and changed and differentiated to Omicron Earhart kind of thing, or just Earhart. So, like, well, well we can't go through.
New has been deleted, hasn't it?
What was that?
I think Omicron New, it's been deleted, hasn't it?
Yeah. It's been, okay. I think it's been retconned entirely to be Omicron Earhart, which is what it's supposed to be that all this time, I've been told. So, like, all that Supergate stuff, all the Virginia, all that, like, really never there, almost, I think.
Yeah, I am kind of bummed out because I remember the unknown IFF ships with the... So I didn't like the story of the missing fleet or the missing battle group that got out there, and then now they're like zombies and stuff. That didn't really make any sense, but there was a mystery, it felt like, with Omicron New, and something was there to find, and it was a little sad to see that they just kind of got rid of it. So I have a hot take to give to you, and let me know what you think of this. But I've said this for a while. I think that Kahara should be the only faction in the community that should be able to engage without lines. What do you think?
I've heard this before. I don't really have an opinion. Like, Kahara like to roleplay. It's not pronounced Kahara, it's just Kara, like that. That's how you pronounce
it. Okay.
It's a Slavic word. I'm not going to say what it means. If you want to figure it out, look it up. So, basically, their whole gist of roleplay is infestation, worshipping the mindshare, that kind of thing, to my understanding. But to not roleplay and just shoot someone, I think that's a bit too far. Like, they should do at least something to at least let the person know, we're going to shoot you. But to not say anything, just to uncloak and start shooting, it's a little bit extreme, I think. They can at least make a noise, say something. But, like, the one, two rules there to not just, like, it's not a role play rule per se, but it's meant to give the other person a chance to know, we're shooting you, get ready. Because you're supposed to drop one, two, wait 10 seconds, they drop their 1-2 to engage back, and then you shoot each other. So for Kara to not do that, I think it's a bit unfair, almost. Because, like, you could easily just get to max range with the cloak. Even though if you get too close to decloak, that's okay. If you have full core, you have batteries, you can easily charge in on someone and just completely obliterate them. They won't even notice. Like, some people I've noticed, they have their auto, like, you know, the radar selection, like, if you're all your cargo, your NPC stations, whatever. I see some people click on the all and they leave on that. I'm like, what are you doing? You're in the Omicron, you could have players show up at any minute. And the people like that, they're not going to be prepared because they have a billion different things on that radar. They're not going to be seeing a nomad coming from behind, completely destroying them. And they're like, what the heck happened? They didn't drop lines, and people get angry about it. So, yes, it makes sense, but I don't think they should do it because reasons.
Zentor just sent me the definition of Kara, and that's, I'm just going to say it's really interesting. I'll let anybody listening do their own research, but that's, it's very interesting that they chose that word for it. yeah, that's a little odd too. So I did, cause the nomad. So first off, like the vagrant lore, that kind of thing where there's like semi friendly nomads. I never understood that. I like a little bit of edgy roleplay or just kind of breaking away from the mold a little bit, but I felt like that kind of roleplay created a whole new, almost like a new species almost, because nomads are this big bad. They want to kill humans. They, you know, to exterminate and purge and to keep Sirius kind of pure, if you will. That's how I view the nomads. So the vagrants I've always kind of stayed away from the vagrants because I just didn't. I don't understand that. So Kara then is kind of similar to vagrants in that they're different from the mold that the nomads are.
Well, vagrants are the original nomads that you banish in the campaign.
Right.
Kara is their own mindset they formed. Like all the nomads who weren't banished, lost, they didn't have the power, they didn't have the Dyson Sphere. They were expelled from it. They were like outside of it. They weren't cast into a whole different galaxy like how the vagrants were. So they had to rebuild and redo things and make a whole new mindshare and all that. But when the vagrants came back, they were completely outdated, confused. They were completely original. Like, they had all the original models and stuff. Like, they were just not nomads. And the nomads viewed them as lesser beings, so they held on to the mindshare as their own. Vagrants are kind of pissed about this, because, like, we're the original. Why are we not in charge? And then, so their whole roleplay is trying to, like, get back in charge kind of thing. So they want to have the revenge on the humans. They want to exterminate. Like, everyone flies nomads because, like, everyone thinks of Kara. Oh, nomads. But if you, like, the actual roleplay fits vagrants more because they're the more aggressive species. They are the older species. They want to really hate the humans and just completely annihilate them, from my understanding.
Like the OGs.
Yeah, the originals.
Keeping it real. Yeah, that's, yeah, because it, and again, unless, you know, because my new little phrase that I've started saying is, extraordinary events or progression should require extraordinary role play. So, I could see maybe a group like, the Order or somebody trying to, manufacture their own nomads to fight for them. And then it goes bad. Kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Mass Effect universe or story, but you know, how the Leviathans try to create the Reapers and the Reapers turned on them, you know, that kind of deal. So the Order trying to do a similar thing, which kind of creates a subspecies of nomads that are doing their own thing. That something like that would have been cool, but I always felt like the Kara are basically an extension of the nomads, and you know, keeping it real to the original idea of purging Sirius. So it's interesting that it's actually opposite.
To a degree. Like, if you want to play nomads, you're going to play nomads. Because, like, vagrants, no one really thinks of vagrants as nomads. They're a different word. The actual official faction's dead. There's been role-playing drama about, oh, we're the original, we should be doing this. Even though Kara is older, I think, than the vagrant faction. They've been doing it more. They understand the lore better. So, out of game wise, it makes more sense for Kara to be like the go to rather than the vagrants. Because right now, no one plays vagrants. I used to. Because I used to, like, oh, I'm going to have the original IFF and play Marduk, just be original, just shoot everything by myself. I don't care if I get ganked or whatever. I just want to be interesting. Nomads, they're like going around, they're like interacting with people. There's this one Kara fighter that goes, they would like do weird giggles and stuff. And if you shot at them, they would run away. If you chase them, then he would engage you and just completely obliterate you. I'm going to say, who that is, and I know you are. So it's all different. Everyone has their own idea of how to roleplay nomads, how nomads interact with others, and like their actual speech. But they're trying to regulate all that. They're trying to make it more simplified. They're trying to get rid of all the weird English, because like, ours spitfires yours might be a bit odd to the new player. I'm like, what are they talking about? And then they get blown up because they didn't know they're going to get shot at.
Light show and
yeah, all that stuff. But light show begins. I'm like, okay, we're going to die.
Yeah. And you raised some good points, definitely, as far as balancing, giving players a chance and stuff. My thing is, if you're a Neomacra, so first off, if you're a new player, you're probably going to be hunkered down in a house, you know, especially Liberty, somewhere in the new starting zone. So, you know, you're learning the game and everything, but I feel like if you're in the Omegas, especially Omicrons, for me, that's like the Wild West, and yeah, you expect to be shot at. Yeah, you expect to be shot at any moment, and I feel like that was like the Wild West. You know, keep your head on a swivel, always looking around, making sure you're safe. So that's where I kind of think, you know, like if I'm smuggling out there, there was one situation where I was hauling something into Gamma to Crete, and I was maybe 20K out of Crete, and a Kara uncloaked shows up and and does the basic equivalent of a 1-2 and kills me. And I private messaged this person. I said, hey, you know, thanks for keeping it real with the Nomads. And they thought I was being sarcastic. They thought I was, you know, flaming and stuff. And they started going on a tangent. And I was trying to explain to them, no, I'm not being sarcastic. I'm for real. Like, I've gotten comfortable flying out in the Omicrons and just, and even like, you know, I'll set a waypoint, get up, use restroom, come back, and just kind of keep flying. No worries in the world. I said, so thanks for doing that. I realized once I get in the Omicrons, I have to keep my head on the swivel, and I even put a kudos in for them. So, yeah. So whoever's listening, if you remember that story, and if you thought that junker wasn't being serious, no, I was being serious. I really appreciated that, and it recentered my focus of remembering that, you know, this is the Wild West. This is untamed territory.
Yeah, should be dangerous. Yeah, not you exactly. Going AFK trading in a whale. No one touches you.
Yeah. I was in the, I think it was in the Pilgrim Liner, something like that. Flying jump hole to jump hole, keeping it real.
Yeah, I'm flying a 5K. I'm in the role play space. I'm going to role play. I don't do silent power trading. I try to speak, try to say funny things. Pirate catches me. I try to tell them a dirty joke, and sometimes they'll let me go without me paying them, or vice versa.
Yeah, I never try to run pirates. I always stop to talk to them.
Yeah, I like the role. I have a little list of people I stay away from because they just do the
1-2. Yeah.
Yeah, the 1-2, or, you know, give him money or die. Which, you know, I guess is actually OG. You know.
That's how it works in the real life situation. You're in a mall somewhere, and three guys in hoods jump out the window and right in front of you with a gun pointed at your face. You're not going to tell a dirty joke and get away with it. No, you're not.
Yeah.
They're going to say, give me money or I blow your brains out. And then you give them money and then they're on their way or whatever.
Next time I'm going to try to do that.
It's more like a trucker, though, on the highway getting stopped. But yeah, they will.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah, for me, it's the scenario. If it's. Yeah, I've said this one before, and it really ticks me off because it's so dumb. But if I'm being pirated right in front of a lawful battleship, I'm going to make fun of you, and then I'm probably going to talk about you on this show. And so anyone out there that has a problem with us talking about anyone, hey, you do stupid stuff, we're going to talk about you. So that kind of stuff, yeah, I'm not going to give you the time of day. I'm going to switch character, wait for you to log off, and then switch back.
Yeah, it's like trying to pirate someone right off a police station. It's like,
right.
I've heard stories of criminal catches so-and-so in front of police officer. Police officer catches him 30 seconds later. I'm like, what were you doing? There was a cop car 30 meters right to your right. And he just stole a purse from someone. All on the security camera, too.
I had very same story. I was trying to get a logistics department started with the 46. And I created the ship, and I was helping. This was back when they owned Salt Lake in New York. So I was just running haul panels back and forth from the shipyard to their base over there, Salt Lake. And a pirate shows up through a trade lane and starts sending cruise disruptors at me as I'm coming into the shipyard. And he's a IFF outcast and tries to get me to stop. Well, I dock, and I start private talking to this person, and basically I told him an example. I said, would you mug somebody right outside of a police station? And they said, yeah, ... I said, no, you wouldn't. I said, learn how the world works before you try to come at me again. And then I just logged off. And then apparently this person knew somebody else who reached out to me. So this person didn't even want to talk to me himself. And I tried to, I don't want to drop names too much, but this person I was talking to, I said, well, have this person reach out to me. Let's talk about it. He says, no, he doesn't want to talk to you. I said, well, then that right there, you know, we don't have anything else to talk about. And then talk to leadership of 46, and, you know, they they didn't like it because it's official faction. They were still just trying to get up and go. And I understand their viewpoint. And, you know, so we just decided to mutually part ways. Still on good terms with the leadership of 46, but we just have different philosophies. But I don't lower my standard for different situations. You know, if you're going to try to pirate me in front of lawful stations, I'm not going to give you the light of day, or I'm going to politely tell you to fuck off. If you're posted up at a jump gate or busting a trade lane and you're going, hey, give me money, I'm just going to give you the money. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to come up with creative ways to pirate or come up with a niche, you know, something cool and something fun, I'm going to play along, and have fun with it. I'm going to spend as much time as I can. I'll give you as much time and we'll have fun with it. You know, my favorite story, I'm not going to say it again, but that lane hacker story. And then I planet dive into Manhattan. That was the funnest scenario I've had. But, so yeah, I think we're about ready to wrap this up, unless Lockers Entor, if you got anything for the podcast.
No, it's been quite an awesome experience getting to know more about Locke and his history on previous servers and what has evolved him into the current situation. I'm really, really interested in finding out more about the progression that his new faction is taking.
Yeah. Still working on it. When are you guys gonna launch your faction?
Once the moment the recruitment page is up and everyone joins up, we're gonna do a whole parade all the way from Tile 37 all the way up to Omega 3, a ginormous circle. Anyone who wants to come out and fight us, come and fight us. We'll be waiting for you. Anyone awesome. Who wants to roleplay, come roleplay with us. We'll stop and talk a about
running
it,
battle.
And we'll keep going. Nice. A ginormous parade of three Magos. Like the three flagships, they're going to be roleplay ships. They're going to be the main ships. We're not going to spam 17 Makos. No, we're going to be more diverse. Have a bunch of fighter escorts, gunboats, cruising in there, and just three battleships. War vessel lockdown. And let me see what the other ships are called so people can see.
I was going to say, no ganking, right?
Oh.
Remember, it's against the rules now.
It's a pretty unique way to launch a faction. I like it.
I do, yeah. Launch it with an event. That's awesome. It's really cool. So, all right, more to come. So, yeah, everyone, watch out for.
Hang on, I think he's going to get us the names of these ships.
Oh, that's right. It, real quick, is it simply just called ARM or is it the ARM?
Okay, so the tag is two arrows in bracket style with the capital letters of ARM. People say it looks bad, but it works because you can centralize it on stuff. It's not like, and it's unique. It's easy to see. I don't like those tags where it's just a few letters and a line that goes up and down. Every tag looks like that. Like, why is everyone doing that? Like, is that the standard or hello?
Yeah. Back in the old days, in the earlier days, everybody on the freelancer survived did was the hard brackets on either side of their tag.
Yeah, I remember tags like those. XTF did it that way. DTA did it that way. DTA being death to all. If you sold those guys, you were going to die. But yeah, our tag, ARM. So our ships, the main ships that we have that I can get our hands on right now is War Vessel Lockdown, which is mine. War Vessel Moda. And War Vessel Europawara. I can't even pronounce this one. I'm going to have to check it out again. I'm like, I think he's changing. Think of a different name, but we're going to announce the three ships in the event so people know who's who.
All right, that sounds good.
Anything else you have to ask?
Yeah, I think that's all for now. I know I gotta get going here, but yeah, definitely interesting. Locke, I think you're one of those people that people either know you and know you very well, or they don't know who you are at all. So,
yes, really.
Here's, and, you know, I know you got, especially in the, I feel like anyone that does PvP, you're going to have people that like you and respect you, and then people that don't. So hopefully That's by funny. Listening to this, people that like Locke, like him even better, have a better understanding of him. People that don't like Locke, maybe give him another chance. you know, try to be his buddy. He's a really cool guy. I know I've flown with him for quite a bit for the last few years and in different respects. And I'm sure he's, you know, I was at the tail end of his guns a few times and he got a W off of me. And then, for those who don't know him, hope this is a good launching point to know him a little bit better. You know, maybe reach out, introduce yourself if you're looking for PvP, trying to get better, or you're just trying to introduce yourself into the PvP scene. I feel like Locke would be a good guy to meet up in con with, and maybe he'll teach you some stuff, you know, get you a good start. So thanks for coming on the show here, Locke. This was a lot of fun.
Indeed.
You know, especially for a PvP-centric show, because normally we talk about just community happenings or economy stuff. So we had a lot more to talk about than I thought, and it was really fun to talk a bit about PvP and get to know you a little bit more, get to know ARM, and yeah. Look forward to launching ARM and seeing what you guys got to offer.
We'll be out there. If anyone sees us, please don't go about saying, like, we've had a few people saying, we gank you. Like, no, we want to keep it fair, we want to keep it balanced. We're not going to metalog the Mako. We're going to have genuine fleets. They're all going to be roleplay ships. We're going to have biographies and everything. So if you see us, come fight us. But don't be crazy. Or be crazy, whatever you want to do. Who cares? Just fight us.
Awesome. I like it. Play to have fun.
Yep, basically.
Zentor, if you got anything for us? If not, then go ahead, sign us off.
Awesome. It's been another episode of the podcast. Thank you, Locke. Thank you, Racer. And we'll see you guys in space.
Jeez. And oh, holla.